Unfortunately, there are situations in life, and this is one of them, where there must be a winner and
loser. Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show, where I'm joined once again by Jack DeFranco.
What's up, everybody?
Ryan Taggart.
Hello, friends.
And Andrew Rizzitello. Coming at us from the Four Seasons. Wait, that's not the Four Seasons. Hang on a second.
Yes, well,
it's Four Seasons.
Tweet. Yeah, the wrong tweet got sent out. He said, Four Seasons. I thought it was the hotel, and then all of a sudden it was Four Seasons landscaping, and there's cow manure back there, and God, someone help me.
Yeah, someone go find Andrew, please. Andrew's GPS.
I lost somewhere.
Very drastically sidetracked him.
I can smell it from here, too.
I bet you can.
You're pretty hands-on. I'm sure you'll find a way out. So
maybe.
Well, there's a bobcat behind me. People better watch out. Them windows are going to stay intact.
All right. So if you didn't guess by now, and well, you probably did if you at least saw the title, this episode is going to be about the 2020 election and a lot of
get
talk.
Get your liquor ready.
Yeah, please. And a lot of talk about this administration as a whole. And all sorts of stuff related to that. So just first of all, if you don't want to hear any more talk about the election, you don't want to hear any talk about politics, cool. Feel free to tune out. We'll see you next week. Next week will not be about the election. This is kind of the one and only discussion since I shouldn't say the one time. In 2016, way early in the year, like I think March or April, I remember it's the day Marco Rubio quit the race because that was literally news like as we started recording Cape, way early into 2016. We did talk a little bit about it. But in terms of what's going on now, short of anything spectacular or outrageous, unless that happens where we're compelled to talk about the election or politics, it's not going to happen. So just be warned. And if you're not into it, totally cool. Like I said, see you next week. So just
shortest episode ever.
That's it. Goodbye, everybody. No, not everybody. Just the ones who want to stick it out. Who care what we say?
Yeah.
Who care what we have to say? Which, the only reason we're even discussing it, this is not a political show by any stretch of the imagination, as you probably know. We spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks talking about the Muppets and Andrew's penis and how strippers are making a living these days. So, obviously, this isn't a political show. There's no political angle here. But we certainly have opinions. And you know what? We were born in America. We live here, work here, pay taxes here, and we vote here. So we can talk about it. And the only reason I'm saying that is not somehow to pump ourselves up, but because that's the way it works. Everybody does get a vote. And frankly, that's one of the things that put me off politics when I turned 18, just for a slight bit of background. When I turned 18 in October of 99, there was an election a year later in 2000. And at the time, if you're unaware of the biography, I was in Marine Corps boot camp. And I could have voted in the presidential election, of course, if I requested a mail-in ballot and could have sent it in, and that would have been that. With everything going on and considering I went to boot camp in September, it wasn't foremost on my mind, having just graduated high school and then gone into the military. So I didn't request a mail-in ballot, but I was very negatively affected by the 2000 election because the idea of one man, one vote was basically proven wrong. No thanks to the Electoral College. So that really put me off the idea of voting because I said, well, then it doesn't matter who you're voting for. It's where people are voting. And I said,
I realized Florida was fucked up, too. It's like, why did Florida? Like,
well, that's
where Florida Man started.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the times you raised suspicion about Florida and the goings on down there.
Yeah.
But I personally was really put off by it. And 2004. I wish I had voted because at that point, things were happening in Iraq and whatnot, and there was a lot that I disagreed with. So I would have. And then, wasn't motivated enough to vote in 2008 or 2012. And I'll admit to the apathy of that. I will absolutely take the hit on that because I, you know what, we live in, it's one of the things that, and people are going to bristle at this, but it's one of those things about American privilege where you can be apathetic when it comes to something like politics, because underneath it all, I believe the assumption is you think things are going to keep running regardless, and you expect things are going to be boring, and they're going to carry on the way they are, and you don't need to participate in the process. That was my right. naive 20-something mentality was, okay, well, this is going to carry on. We know how it's going to go. In 2008, it was pretty clear Barack Obama was going to be elected. It was very clear in 2012 he was going to get reelected. So I thought, okay, the machine's going to keep chugging along. I don't need to participate. I don't need to put my thumb on the scale in any way. Forget it. I'm not going to participate. And same in 2016. Like everybody, I was just fed up with what was going on with everything with the election. And politics was so in our face. That was really the beginning of, on a daily basis, really talking about politics. I'm saying to the layperson, to the average person, the average American, politics became a daily discussion.
And way more vicious than the previous elections ever were.
Absolutely.
Like, there was more. There was some discourse here and there, like with the Obama and McCain. But it wasn't like vitriol. There wasn't this vitriol and hatred that was every day.
Exactly. They were opponents, right. But there was a mutual respect. I mean, I'd even say the same thing in 2004. It's not as if, you know, W and John Kerry were like completely at odds with each other in every way.
They bickered.
They disagreed.
It was very bickering and everything else back and forth. But it wasn't like.
I think the vitriol finally got us off our asses, at least concerning the four of us. I mean, that's what did it for me.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's it.
I mean, to your point, Chris, with the apathy, I was the same way. I mean, you know, I didn't vote in the last election or the one before that because I was like, what does it matter? And the four of us, I think, specifically have to come to grips with, I guess, you know, what our own privilege is. Because, I mean, I know for me as a straight white middle class man, whoever's in the White House, it probably isn't going to make any kind of difference in my daily life.
We were able to operate under that assumption for sure.
Yeah,
right. And that's how I've been operating. I mean, I'm angry this time, and obviously we got our way.
Right.
You know, but I finally got off my ass because I couldn't stand seeing what was going on in this country under Trump's rule anymore. So
totally.
Even if Trump had won again this time, my daily life probably wouldn't change at all. But, you know, my anxiety has ramped up along with the country's over the past 4 years. So that's what finally, you know, got me off my ass. And even
to compliment that, John Oliver made a good point. One of Joe Biden's rallying cries was what Ryan was saying about how Trump's dividing us and all this other stuff. And he's like, we have to show him who we really are. But that's kind of what Trump did. And I'm not defending him at all. Please, right. I didn't vote for him in either of the two elections he was in. But he showed us what America is, who America is.
Absolutely.
You know, what is still out there that we as four white guys from New Jersey don't see, which I've discussed before. Like, you know, we're forced to deal with much more than someone out in the Midwest is.
Right.
Culturally. So we take it for granted, not that we take the person, but we take the experience for granted. You know, Ryan, all of us can walk to a bodega. Actually, Chris, you've been doing that ever since the shutdown, like going to a bodega, going to a mom and pop shop where whoever the owner is not the same skin color as you, is not the same ethnicity or religion or anything like that. But you're going to walk in because, you know, whatever they're serving is appetizing or you need it for some kind of medical thing, or you know that you can only get this ingredient over there, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we don't need to worry about we don't need to worry about prejudice. I mean, there is a certain contingent where, okay, sure, some people are prejudiced against white people, straight white males, whatever. You know, there's that kind of hate, just like there is in many respects. But we know, we're very aware, we're in the vast minority in terms of being at the effect of any kind of prejudice. And that's certainly one of the things that has been eye-opening about, like Andrew said, with bringing out the worst. And I'll be honest, just quickly to backtrack, and I'm only kind of putting this much out there because my name's on the show, and I'm just being honest. I am so not a fan of the current president for basically the entire year. I've just been referring to him as 45. I don't even want to say his fucking name because he's always been despicable to me. I always thought he was just a buffoon.
Jack had the best name, though.
What was that?
No.
I found that.
Told us.
Tangerine Palpatine.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I love that.
But
I was we had 4 years of this, and nobody.
And it took this long.
Yeah. The alliteration or rhyme scheme.
It's perfect. Yeah. But yeah, I was never a fan of his in the first place. I used to give my parents shit for watching Celebrity Apprentice. I was like, why are you watching this? He's an idiot. He doesn't know anything about business. He was fucking born rich. Like, why are you interested in somebody who inherited hundreds of millions of dollars giving advice to people on how to succeed in business? I was never a fan of his.
Bill of Goods, I was kind of not completely sold, because up to in 2016, I didn't know who I was going to vote for until I got to the booth and thought, well, economy, what's my options here? And I thought, I'll just go with him because maybe it's a better economic chance and something different. Because
Chris, you and I talked about that. I don't know if it was the only podcast or if it was on your show, but we talked about the fact how Trump and Bernie shared that, whereas they were different. They were starkly different from the system.
Same old shit. Let me try something new. And I pressed the button and then regretted it ever since.
Like, well, that's kind of where we are.
The only reason I was not supporting, I wasn't even going to vote up until the day before. So I probably should. And
right.
Who do I pick? And it's again, that weak argument, lesser of two evils. But at the time I wasn't really into it. I tried to avoid it as much as possible. I thought, well,
right.
But at the same time, when it comes down to it, he still lost the popular vote the first time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for the Electoral College, he got in.
Yeah.
Because it matters where the people are who are voting. This,
Ryan, we actually got back on track.
Yeah. Well, that is a part of what's going on, is that the idea right now, the there are people contesting the result where, can you believe more people didn't vote for him than did? Well, yeah, that's what happened last time, you idiots. I mean, let's just be honest.
I'm the snowflake now.
Yeah. Yeah, that meme sums it up perfectly. The Captain Phillips type meme. And yeah, they're the ones who are just like, this is unfair. Or the people who aren't like a member of Cult 45 aren't just necessarily crying about it. But the ones who are, you know, just like, hey, listen, who were agreeing that he lost the election are saying like, listen, don't make me feel bad because my guy lost. Like, fuck you. If Hillary Clinton was still contesting the results of the election a week and a half later, imagine. It's one of those things. Everyone's been playing the game of the last 4 years. Like, what if Obama did this? Well, let's be honest. What if Hillary Clinton, a week and a half after the 2016 election, tweeted that she won the election? How would right-wing media be treating that? They'd be all over.
They would rip her apart.
Exactly. Yeah. As unhinged, and this is why this person shouldn't have been president and all this other shit.
Lock her up and all that other stuff. She's crazy. Put her in a sanitarium.
Well,
that's
part of what's crazy, to be honest, because there were some of these fucking MAGA idiots were outside her house this weekend chanting, lock her up. Fucking she lost. You know, she didn't win. She's not the president. By the way,
4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Like this whole idea of like the promises made, promises kept thing that they kept saying, that all the, you know, especially all the Fox News anchors were spouting about him, and there were the signs at the rallies and everything. Like, no, he didn't. He didn't lock her up. He didn't repeal and replace. He didn't build the wall. Like, he didn't do any of the shit he said he was going to do. And yet you're still like, he's doing a great job. No, he's not. But the idea of these people are so entrenched in just playing the hits. They went back to saying make America great again instead of keep America great. They're going back to saying lock her up, even though they didn't lock her up. Like they're literally playing the hits from 2016. It's pathetic.
It's no longer the Republican Party. It's the Trump Party.
No, it is the Republican Party, but he's the figurehead, like it or not. And you know, he hijacked the party and they willingly surrendered it to him.
Yeah.
And incidentally,
but what Andrew is saying, this isn't the Republican Party
of old
8 years ago or 12 years ago.
No,
of course,
it certainly isn't.
This isn't the Republican Party when I decided to vote for Bush.
Of course.
No, I'll admit that.
I voted for him the first time, too. Yeah, and this isn't the Republican Party of that time now.
Or John McCain. Yeah.
It's a shell of itself, and
that's the other good meme.
That's putting it lightly. Yeah,
I don't like people who lose in Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's the same party in name only. Now, I mean, you have a QAnon believer who's serving in Congress now. It's completely different. Someone who actually believes that there's a pedophile pizza ring and that there's celebrities who are, you know, drinking the blood of babies and all that other shit that they believe.
Is that the guy that said, you know, the first one that turned around and said, oh, no, we're full on planning for.
No, it's a woman. It's a woman from Georgia.
Oh, Kaylee?
No, that's the press secretary.
Who?
That's what's her name? It's like Marjorie Greene or something like that. I don't know her exact name. I see her dopey tweets because a lot of comedians comment on them because they are just rife for mockery. But
of course,
I don't know her full name.
From the party now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Unfortunately, yeah, it is a completely different party. They've completely gone the other way in terms of whatever's popular, whatever's going to get people to follow and to commit blindly to whatever it is they stand for. And unfortunately, that's spearheaded by Trump. I have to use his name because I don't want people to get confused. Like, why is he not saying his name? So I am going to use his name. But I wish I didn't.
They're the clickbait party.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Even his YouTube ads that I saw every time I opened up YouTube looked like all the thumbnails looked like those stupid fucking memes that you see on like low quality, you know, comment threads. These awful looking memes. And I'm just thinking he's literally
horny women are looking for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's now we're at a point where internet bottom feeders and right wing bottom feeders have converged. And now they're just one group and they're called Republicans. So yep. Go
and
figure.
You see, like, they're so bold now. I mean, the cretins that have crawled out from the woodwork. And I'm in Ocean County, which is literally Trump country. I mean, I can't walk down any street without seeing Trump flags in windows, on boats, on trucks.
When I went out in the boat this summer,
some people have literally 10, Trump 12 flags Trump flags in their yard. Not just one Trump flag or sign, but dozens of them. Like, it's literally insane.
Yeah.
One of my uncles is one of them. Two of them.
And it's old white people with money, like where I live, and they're all Trumpsters, all of them.
Which is funny because I saw, this is at a Wawa that's west of me. I'm in North Jersey, if you don't know. If you're tuning in for the first time, because you're like, I want to hear them talk about politics. I want to see these dopey libs talk about politics. and because, you know, there is that audience. They're the people who are watching because they're just like, I want to hear these idiots. And look, I'm not saying we know anything. I got a fucking degree from guitar college. I'm not going to say I know anything. If you're watching the video, I got a Muppet blanket behind me. I mean, I'm not saying I know anything. I'm just saying I'm a voter. I'm an American. And this is my opinion.
If you're going to go with what's behind us, then Jack is the educated liberal because he's got books behind him.
You're the dopey.
We're going on first impressions. So Jack is the educated liberal. Ryan is the stuck at home internet nerd with all his toys behind him.
Yeah, Ryan's in the basement looking like a hacker with a bunch of toys behind him.
Yeah.
I will fuck your shit up.
Chris is the older version of Ryan. So like Ryan will be the millennial and Chris is the Gen X.
I'm or Hollywood liberal because I got posters.
And I'm out of the four of us. I am the most normal because I have knives and a gun case behind me.
I mean, normal for who?
Yeah, what,
for these Republicans.
Normal for you.
Can you define normal in a dictionary?
Yeah,
absolutely not.
Do you care to define your definition of normal? But look,
boring.
As Ryan said, because he made an excellent point before, and this is in our typical fashion, this is going to be kind of all over the road, but. He's right. We're at the point where we're frustrated and we're angry and we definitely wanted to see a change after these last 4 years. And look, I didn't say it at the time because I didn't want to hear any shit. So we talked about, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. I think we talked about it in the only podcast that matters when we were recapping 2016 in the last run of shows. So this would have been 202, I think, but episode 202. I think that's when we talked about the election. Yeah. And I said I didn't want to talk about how I voted. And the truth is, I didn't vote in the last election. I wish I had, but there was also the part of me that as much as I wish I had, in as much as not so much in support of Hillary, but against Donald Trump, I wish I had the personal satisfaction of having done that. But at the same time, the truth is, it wouldn't have made a difference because another Democratic vote in very, very deep blue California wouldn't have made a difference because that's where I was in 2016. So it wouldn't have made a difference one way or the other how I voted. But at the time, and this is part of the problem, and I'm happy to go after Democrats, liberals, whatever you want to call them, because I am a registered independent. But part of the problem is that the mentality 4 years ago, if you didn't vote for Hillary, you're part of the problem. So the fact that Ryan and I didn't vote, Jack voted for Trump. Andrew voted for Gary Johnson. It's like we're all part of the problem because we didn't vote for Hillary. And that message is always and continues to be part of the problem. Well, no, it's more the Trump supporters were referred to as deplorables. But the idea that you're part of the problem because you weren't on the right side of history, you didn't do the right thing, which is ridiculous. And that unfortunately has kind of spun out into this impossible purity test that nobody can pass, where we just want to criticize everybody so that they can't host the Oscars or they can't have a TV show or that they can't direct the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Like, now it's this point where everyone's put through this ringer where you can't pass this insane purity test. But that's frankly right. A whole other
discussion. And that's
discussion.
The problem is that the fringes get most of the attention. I mean, there are plenty of people on both sides who are moderates, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, who are respectable, hardworking people. They're not racists. Like, they're not maniacs in any way. So each side just demonizes the other. And that's what's causing the division. Because you have to realize that, like, being a Republican doesn't make you a bad person. Like,
right.
There are plenty of tenets of Republicanism that I still believe in, even though I don't consider myself to be a Republican or a Democrat.
Right. And certainly not a Republican.
I'm very liberal, but.
Well, that's it. Even when I voted, I wasn't like, I'm staunch Republican. I just happened to coincidentally vote for Republicans because that's what I believed in at the time.
Well, it wasn't coincidental. Right. You said you voted Republican in every election, I guess, except this one.
I wasn't like for.
It wasn't like, oops, I checked this box by mistake.
Yeah. But it wasn't like I was like, I'm with this party regardless. It's like in 2012, right. I didn't. That was the only year I didn't vote. But I knew Obama was going to win anyway. And we had just went through Hurricane Sandy. So the last thing on my mind was getting to a voting poll.
Right.
I was like, all right, he's going to win. So it doesn't matter. And I probably would have voted for him anyway. I liked him better than Mitt Romney. So
totally.
That choice.
Well, and it's funny, speaking about the extremes, I mean, unfortunately, that's how each group is defined by the most extremes. Everybody on the right is a racist, and everybody on the left is a crazy snowflake who can't handle anything in the real world.
Socialist.
So, yeah, or socialist. Well, that's socialist. The funniest thing now. The idea of
God.
The idea of Joe Biden, who's so much a centrist. The idea that, like, listen, he's a puppet of Beijing. He's Beijing Biden. And listen, all the socialists got their hooks. AOC and Bernie are going to be dictating the next 4 years. Like, no, they're not.
Right.
They're not.
And all of a sudden, we're going to become Red China because Biden's in office and we got AOC. Like, and all these people that are bitching about socialism don't realize how many social programs we have in this country that have probably benefited them at one point or another.
Of course.
For starters. And they couldn't define socialism if it jumped up and punched them in the fucking face. And I'm so tired of hearing people bitch. I hope you like socialism. I hope you like
you heard the same shit with Obama.
You fucking
too.
Marxist. Like, shut up. Shut up.
Yeah. Obama's a socialist. That whole argument was in 2008 also.
Right. And it's something that they're unfortunately going to keep going back to. It's the socialism is the Hillary's emails of the 2020 election. Honestly, like, that's all anyone was throwing around.
That's how to put it.
And it was just a buzzword. Everyone's or maybe more appropriately put the Benghazi. Nobody could point out Benghazi. They couldn't tell you what happened, but they were all just like, yeah, Hillary and Benghazi. And it's like, okay. Like, what happened and how is it she was responsible? Well, that's as far as the fringe thing goes. I don't know. Like I said, Joe Biden's a centrist. I don't think he's not coming for your guns. No. You know, nobody
just like
is.
Obama didn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Fucking. Do people forget that 8 years under Obama, there was no, like, we're coming for your guns. No one was rounding up your guns.
But people are saying it already. I've seen it all over the place.
There was somebody.
Get ready to protect your guns. Oh, my guns were involved in a tragic accident where they drowned in the middle of the ocean.
Can I tell you how hard it is to buy ammo right now?
Fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, should be.
Well, because we should be keeping high caliber weapons out of the hands of crazy people and ammunition. I mean, that I'm all for.
Yeah, 100%.
But
no, just in general, like, you know, if I want to go get a 9mm round or anything for my AR or AK, you can't find it at all. I'm not talking politically. It's because people are buying it.
Oh,
so
yeah, for sure.
It's not the political aspect, like, it is the political aspect.
It's a
side
effect.
You were describing it. It's not that they're coming for my ammo. It's that it's a scare tactic. Gun producers and ammo producers right now are loving the fact that a blue president is now in charge
it's
again.
Sensationalism.
It is.
It goes hand in hand with politics. You better get your bullets because it's not going to be here for much longer. That's
right.
All it is.
Well, that's one of the interesting statistics that was that I heard about over the weekend. Heard about. Okay, so in case we're not playing this game of, like, I'm hearing people are saying, I'm not playing the game that he does. Max Brooks, author of World War Z and son of Mel Brooks and Ann Bancroft, was on a Real Time with Bill Maher on Friday, and he was talking about this and saying, and he's very, very much tied in with the government because he writes a lot about that, and he's involved actively. He's not just a fiction author, but he was saying that the interesting thing is usually the increase in in participation of militia groups goes up during a Democratic presidency because of all the ideas that are fed into, including coming for your guns and socialism. And they're going to, you know, they're going to make you drink Starbucks if you watch Tucker Carlson. And then he basically said that this is the first time under a Republican president in, I don't know if it's in the history of the country or certainly in recent times, when militia, I don't know if you call it enlistment, but people signing up for militias to be part of whatever these, you know, independent group. Now, militia does not mean military in any sense. It's a rogue group of
well-regulated Michigan.
Yeah. The well-regulated militia cosplayers who go out.
G.I. Joe cosplayers.
Yeah. And buy an AR-15 and some camo because they're too fat to actually get in the actual military, and just want to strut around with a gun with no intention of using it, much less firing it at another person with the idea of taking their life.
And no understanding.
Yeah. It's all about intimidation. And that goes to Andrew's point as far as that's what they're looking to do. We want to have the weapons so that, number one, so that the libs don't. And also, so we have them so when they come for our guns, we can fire on them.
Even though they don't realize that there are plenty of Democrats who own guns. Like,
totally. Exactly. Well, that's it. They're not against gun ownership. They're against anybody getting any gun they want at any time for any reason they deem necessary, including crazy people.
Right.
That's not that radical a notion. Like, if I said it years ago after it was right at the beginning. It was one of the shows we did at the beginning of 2013. We did a rather serious show called Guncast, which was following the shootings in Sandy Hook, which really happened. And the shooting of the Aurora movie theater that happened the previous summer. And I said it then, and I'm going to repeat.
Club, right. Or is that after?
No, that was way after.
That was 2016.
Yeah, that was way after.
Yeah, that was a couple years.
But still,
I said it still
ties in.
But still,
of course,
within, yeah.
But I said if you're a gun nut, why would you want crazy people to give you a bad name? If you are a responsible gun owner, if you have your licenses, your documentation is up to date, you store them responsibly, you know how to handle one, then why is it you want crazy people fucking it up for you? I don't understand that.
I literally did this for one of my coworkers the other day. Or not the other day, like about a month ago. He was one of these people because, as you can tell, the gun ownership or people who are applying for permits, at least here in New Jersey, have skyrocketed. And it's not just the election, but it's also all of the George Floyd stuff, the protests, the like Jack said, the sensationalism of all of the media, you know, throwing this in your face. And you've got scared people out there who are now just going out and thinking that if I have a firearms ID, I can, you know, play God. You can't, especially in this state. So one of my coworkers decided, he's like, you know what? I'm going to get guns now. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm going to watch you. I'm going to make sure that you do it right and that you understand what the hell you're doing. He's literally a decade younger than me. So I almost felt like the older brother, where it's like, no, this is what's going on. You're going to learn how to take it apart and clean it and the proper safety measures. He's like, oh, I just purchased my first gun. I'm like, did you get a safe for it? He goes, no. I'm like, then give me the gun. And I kept
right.
And I didn't give it back to him until he had a safe, because he's got two kids. I didn't give it back to him until he had it, till he had a safe.
Why
and
is that
like,
not
I
a fuck?
Saw this.
Why is
and
that?
I went with it.
Well, that's it.
Sorry,
and
I'll
family
let you
members
finish.
Who have guns and they know how to properly store them.
That's right. The point.
That's about like, responsible.
If you don't, you're far more likely to have an accident or someone in your house ends up killing themselves
absolutely.
Than you will ever use it on an intruder or
absolutely
like a villain. I mean,
is there a part of me that you know has firearms to prevent a possible break-in? Yeah, there's a very small sliver of me that thinks that there could be some accident in my apartment or when Veronica and I get a house that some asshole tries to break in and I have to defend my family. Yes. But is it the overwhelming majority of the reason that I have firearms? No. I have firearms because I enjoy going to a range and shooting them. You know, I have said multiple times that I can't hunt. Not because I can't do it physically, but
because
I
never hit anything
for it. Exactly. I don't have the patience for it. I can't wake up at 3 a.m. and not get a deer. You know, like,
what? You don't want to hold dominion like, over an animal that right. Is unarmed and doesn't know you're there.
So wow. I'm just going to go hunting with my Bowie knife.
that's fine. As long as the bear has a bow and arrow. I mean, there has to be some,
he's got, you know, 6-inch claws.
He has good. To stand a chance. They need to be armed with something too. But, yeah, it's, but you know what, that the part of the problem is that as much as we could talk about this and we could talk sensibly, the fact is that everything is so splintered that, you know, the people who believe this aren't going to hear it. And, you know, there's been a mass exodus. Well, maybe not big enough, at least if you're a John Tesh Twitter follower. But over the weekend, a lot of people have been quitting Twitter to go to Parler. Yes, it's pronounced Parler, according to Wikipedia, not Parlay. But now conservatives want to be able to say, or right wing nuts want to be able to spew all the racism and all the hatred and make all the violent threats and everything that they can in their own little bubble, because now Twitter has become too liberal because they're actually holding the president to account for things that aren't provably true.
Which is funny because Parlay, fuck you.
Hey, I'm just Wikipedia has the pronunciations spelled out and they have
because
it down as Parlay.
It's funny.
Wikipedia is always right too. So yeah.
Exactly. I mean, they do research.
One, it actually has more censorship platforms, I guess you'd say. Or programs,
guidelines,
or however you want to define it, algorithms, sure, in that. And it's also partly owned by Saudi nationalists.
Gee, there's a shock.
Oh, good.
Good. So now...
What could go wrong there?
Yeah. Thanks to excellent liberal redneck comedian Trey Crowder, now we can have the convergence of Saudi Arabia and Howdy Arabia, which is how he refers to, which is how he refers to the South.
Howdy
Arabia.
Yeah, we can finally get Y'all Qaeda.
That Y'all Qaeda, yeah, that one's been around for a while. That's
that
a good
guy
one
rules.
Too.
He's the best European champion since D'Lo Brown. I love that guy.
Oh, that's Corey Ryan Forrester. He's one of the other liberal redneck comedians. Which
I get them mixed up, but
those guys are awesome. Yeah, he's from Georgia. Trey Crowder's from Tennessee. They do excellent stuff, and they know their shit. They're educated dudes, but they know their shit. But obviously, because they have Southern accents, people assume
God, they're fucking
they're
great.
They're hysterical
Republican rednecks. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's it. And the fact that there's, I mean, even when you look at like the county breakdowns, that is one of the interesting things to see, you know, in this election when they do look at the counties. I know people are saying like, oh, they're examining it too much, and there's so much analysis of what's going on. But yeah, when you look at the counties in certain states,
wait, you just learned about what gerrymandering was? Oh. Holy crap. You actually paid attention in social studies and U.S. politics for once?
You talking to me or you're talking to the audience?
No, in general.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
You're talking to the royal
no,
you.
This isn't you.
I'm like, what do you mean? No, but in states that run deep red, it's interesting to look at how many blue counties there are. Now, they're in the minority, but you would think, you know, again, the assumption or the stereotype is they would be way red, that everybody's voting. But also the fact remains, and this is something people forget, and there was a great meme that was going around that I shared as well, where it looked at the electoral map, as has been ultimately decided, whether you believe it or not. But yeah, it was a legitimate election, folks.
States don't vote. People do.
Exactly. Land doesn't vote. So when you look at this huge section of red in the middle of the country, it's so sparsely populated that don't think there's so many people, which is frankly part of the problem when it comes to disputing the results of this election, because people think, I mean, I saw memes weeks ahead of the election that they expected every state was going to be red and all the electoral votes. I mean, they were all sharing
the
this
red
shit.
Wave.
They believed that they were really like the silent majority, and Trump played into that and kept referring to them as that. They're not in the majority. They haven't been in the majority for a while. The last time they were legitimately in the majority in that more of them voted for a Republican president was 2004, when Bush actually won the popular vote. But in general, that's not the case. There are less of them. There are less people who align with this particular stripe of politics, be it 2004 like, or in 2020 in this current incarnation.
Take, for example, like Alaska. You know, it's literally the biggest state in the United States.
As far as land mass is concerned, yes.
Yeah, by land mass. So, like, the common folk, you know, morons.
Good pull.
Thank you.
These are people of the land.
And
you have to remember, these are just simple farmers.
Yeah, but there aren't enough of them. I mean, you look at a state Pennsylvania,
it's three electoral,
it's almost
three,
all red.
Three.
But
yeah,
Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, they take it.
Oh, like,
more population density.
Yeah, even what happens.
Or my father-in-law,
cities are blue,
out there. That's
almost
all
everywhere.
Oh, sorry, say that again, Jack. Ryan was
where I was going out when I go out to Lancaster area. That's all Trump country. But other parts of Pennsylvania are like the big cities, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Yeah, like Ryan was saying.
Yeah,
and no, I get it. And it goes back to what how Ryan was saying is like there are so many social programs out there that people don't realize that they're either on or have used at some point. People in cities and urban areas like ourselves realize that no, I've got to go to the government for blank, you know, whatever the reason is.
Right, that exists.
So,
right.
You know, and when you go out to farmland or, excuse me, more rural areas, they're more concerned with keeping their own money because they work hard and they're not on, either they don't know that they're on a social program because of, some kind of farm program they're on or, you know, some kind of welfare or something of that nature. But there's so little connection right. to other people.
Totally. And
that,
there's
know,
also a there is
they
a
they don't understand how anyone else yes. lives
exactly and there is a lack of diversity
so, and
I mean,
here's the
go ahead Ryan
right and here's the thing with taxes I mean people are so concerned about where their tax money is going so I mean your taxes everyone's going to pay taxes there's no way to avoid it so some people let's say senior citizens don't want their tax monies going towards schools because they don't have kids in school. Some people don't want their tax dollars going toward helping quote unquote lazy people who take advantage of the system. Personally, I don't want my tax dollars going toward funding endless wars all over the world anymore. But you know what? Too fucking bad. There's nothing I can do about it. We're all going to pay our fair share of taxes. Do any of us really know how it's being divided up or what's going toward what? Why does it matter to you is the overriding point that I've just sort of conceded to myself. Like, there are certain things that I would rather my tax dollars not go toward, but I have zero control over it. I have to pay taxes. It gets taken from me. It gets split up. There's no one I'm going to vote for that's going to really change how taxation works and how many pennies go toward this and how many go toward that. It doesn't make a difference.
Well, that's the hope
to me, but people really do still seem to care. You know,
I mean, the hope is that you will get a candidate who believes like there's too much money spent on, you know, the money that's spent in going to wars or causes that we don't necessarily believe, like as individuals, I'm not saying us as a group, but yeah, the idea that right. how the money is spent and, you know, where, you know, we pay tolls on the highways in New Jersey. So, you know, where the toll money goes, you know, the idea that you would want to vote for somebody and actually participate in that process, that was one of the things that finally got me to vote for the first time in this presidential election where I said, you know what, all the stupid people are voting. I can't let them be the ones who ultimately decide who gets
right.
in.
To be the devil's advocate to both of you, it kind of goes along with the thinking of taxation without representation. And I've been a proponent of term limits for everybody. You know, Joe Biden himself has been in Congress or in some political office for 47 years. Now, whatever he won, I'm not going to dispute that. Good for him. Hope he changes something, you know, for the better, you know, leave it better than you found it kind of thing. But to right. hear that he has been in office only 10 years longer than I've been alive is kind of like you're literally a cog in the machine. So I think that what needs to happen is, number one, voters need to get smarter. The fact that this country in general is divided between two colors instead of seeing every candidate. And I'm not saying just the Libertarian Party. I'm like, there's the Green Party. There's the Constitution Party. There's literally a Socialist Party in America. You know, why are we not looking into them and going, you know what? This guy has more of the ideas that I share my views with, you know?
It'll take generations.
It will. I understand that, Ryan. I know it's not going to happen next election. I get that. I'm just fantasizing right now.
Well, as an idea,
but
I'm all for it.
But
yeah.
the idea of people getting out and seeing that there are other candidates for all positions in government that don't subscribe to red or blue because they know that red and blue come with this ball and chain of responsibility to the party. You know, how Orwellian is that? The party.
Well,
how many times?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, absolutely agreed. Yeah, I agree with you on that. But it would take a sea change in funding for these candidates. It would take a change in the media. It would take a change in just getting this out there to everyone. And nobody's going to go searching for it. I mean, not nobody, but
well, no, people
when it
don't
comes
search
down to it, nobody.
People don't search for things so much as that they need to be told about it. I mean, now, Andrew, not to single you out and not to criticize, but as somebody who has, I don't know if you're currently identifying yourself as a libertarian, but as somebody.
I'm not registered as one.
Okay.
But if I want to pigeonhole myself, yes.
Okay. But here's my position when it comes to libertarians of a certain type. And I mean this with regards to you, because I do think you fall into this category. Don't mean it as an insult, just a neutral observation. So this isn't an attack on you personally, but there's definitely a breed of libertarians out there who only pipe up and start crowing about libertarians about 6 months before a presidential election, and the other 3.5 years, you don't hear dick from them. And that is part of the problem, that this idea of, like, look, you need to look in other candidates, you need support of the parties. Why aren't they making themselves known? Why aren't there more candidates for lower forms of office? Why are we only hearing about the libertarian presidential candidate? Because I heard more about Gary Johnson in 2016 than I'd heard about a libertarian candidate in years. I saw more memes and things like that, you know, this year about the libertarian candidate than I have previously. And it's where are the people running for Senate?
Bill, who was even the third party person?
JoJo and Spike, who you're not going to vote for and you're not going to buy their new wave album.
Yeah.
So that's literally, there's a man on the ballot running for vice president.
I mean,
yeah, Gary Johnson actually got more votes than she did.
Gary,
I've no doubt
he got more votes. I mean, when they were flipping back and forth, when, you know, when they were going through the, you know, the election results, you know, back to the 2016 map, there were places where Gary Johnson won 3 or 4% of the vote, but Joe Jorgensen didn't even make a dent in anything
anywhere. Did horribly
on this year's map. Like, it, she didn't even register really.
But I think part of it is also that. There was this idea, at least in 2016, the idea of Donald Trump, an outsider, someone who's not, you know, a beltway politician or a cookie cutter politician or whatever you want to call. There was this idea about Donald Trump, why people voted for him. And even Jack, to a certain degree, kind of felt like, OK, something different. And I get why the appeal was. Yeah. That's
Jack
no longer
voted for him because he was in wrestling.
Yeah, he was on Monday Night Raw, whatever the fuck it was.
I didn't.
Now, it'd be easy to assume that about Jack.
I was on Team McMahon at that Mania, Andrew. Okay, I wanted Trump to get in that match. So really,
but there was an idea of what he was, and the reality of that ran very contrary to the idea of this outsider. As a you got somebody who wasn't educated about government, had zero experience in government, relevant experience, what people would consider relevant in terms of the law and how government works. And this was also, I think, a problem for Jo Jorgensen, where she hadn't held political office as far as I could find. And the idea of voting for another outsider was just immediately, I say, no, thanks. I'm not interested in another person who has no experience in politics, who doesn't know how it works. So I think people are
Oprah for president, The Rock for
exactly.
President.
I think less people were up for that type of candidate, because that's the type of candidate that we currently have as president and have had for the last 4 years. I just don't think that is a selling point anymore after this. And that's fine. I hated people banding about, like, you know, who could beat Trump? Oprah. No. We don't need another. No. We don't need an actual billionaire running against, you know, him for president. No thanks. But I think that idea suffered, and I think that, you know, the campaign suffers, because someone like me, who is open to ideas, I think put more people and more opinions in the marketplace of ideas. Get yourselves out there. But to be honest, if you want to
say free market
exactly
ideas.
If people want to spread the libertarian message, though, there need to be people. They need to be libertarian candidates who are running for Congress or governor or mayor or whatever. I don't hear about libertarians until 6 months before every presidential election, when their main platform at least we're not the other two. That tends
to build a groundswell, but you have to start small like that.
Exactly.
That's how you're going to build a reputation as a party or as a third option.
Totally.
But you're just going for the home run right away, and it's just not going to work.
Exactly.
So in response to the did she hold public office? She did. It wasn't high enough. Like, Gary Johnson was, I believe, a governor.
He was governor, I believe.
Where was he? Yeah, he was governor. So people knew him as a governor. Joe Jorgensen wasn't a governor.
District selectman?
She was a mayor.
Oh, okay. She was a mayor.
What?
I said district selectman, you know, something that nobody knows their local district
exactly,
selectman.
No.
She was a mayor.
Spike was a podcaster.
It's a fucking Spike. But the fact that a grown man is running for vice president calls himself Spike.
Well, that's his name.
His name on the ballot was Spike Cohen.
Yeah.
It's come on. I'm not voting for a grown man who goes by Spike. I'm not voting for a grown man who goes by Chip or Skip either.
I will admit that this particular election, and personally, I did it more to troll the people out there that were putting up either Trump or Biden memes.
Oh God.
Yeah, I was one of the meme army of Joe Jorgensen, just to piss them both off.
I guess, but isn't
the problem.
Isn't there enough?
Exactly. Do you understand how many times I was told that? Seriously?
Of course.
That.
But you were also
on either side. You know, if you vote for her, you're just voting for X. No, I'm voting for her because I, at least the party, I believe in that value. You know, you really want? I'll vote for Vermin Supreme. You know, like the fuck.
Is that a Harry Potter villain we don't know about? Andrew froze. He can't defend himself.
He froze.
Got to look on that silly. Sorry, we can just look at his image and be like, "Oh, there he is, everybody."
I think I can see his nose hairs.
I think so. Let's take a moment just to bask it, boy. People, if you're listening to
Harry Potter one and unfreeze him,
if you're listening to the audio version of this, you're missing out. Check out the YouTube episode. But yeah, wow, Andrew's frozen.
Wingardium Unfrozium.
Well, since he can't respond, do you guys know who he was referring to? I guess that was a reference that we just didn't catch.
Okay. Vermin Supreme. Like a Ninja Turtle villain. I have no idea.
Yeah, that could be.
I think it just got added to the Taco King. Bell menu, actually.
The Rat King's boss, Vermin Supreme.
Okay, he just dropped out, so we probably had signal trouble. His voice was getting a little choppy, so I think that was kind of part of his issue. Now, the funny thing I thought about, and frankly, it's something that I know Andrew has an opinion on, but we got to keep moving despite the fact that he has dropped out. He'll be back in a moment. But
like a third party candidate.
So. Yeah, like a third party candidate.
Don't miss him too much.
Andrew's going to show up, but you're never going to know he wasn't here in the first place. Nah, I'm kidding. But I did think it was interesting because this doesn't happen much as far as, you know, when it comes to celebrities and politics, particularly when it comes to endorsing a particular candidate. Everybody comes out and says vote. That's totally okay. But I actually thought it was really stunning that Dwayne Johnson came out, totally endorsed Joe Biden, interviewed Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And I thought, honestly, for the biggest movie star in the world to come out and endorse a candidate is a big deal. And I did really look at that as kind of a line in the sand moment. Not so much that he's going to get people off the fence. I don't know if people who were thinking about voting for Trump were going to switch over to Biden because of The Rock's endorsement. But I did think it was interesting in as much as, wow, this guy is actually like putting himself out there as being against the current presidential administration for being such a huge star. I was very surprised by that. And of course, that wasn't without consequence. I'm sure you know that because he's a dude who's very measured in his public persona. And as far as how he presents himself, there's not a whole lot of candid stuff out there. You don't see a lot of tabloid stuff about Dwayne Johnson, but I figured, wow, this is really interesting. And the hate that he got, now Andrew's in the waiting room. Let's let him back in, shall we? But the hate he got, I thought was really funny and must have been expected. I saw people commenting on his Instagram video with, you know, well, I used to love watching the Jumanji movies with my kids. No more. The fact that people were so against, like the fact that The Rock supported somebody who wasn't their candidate, I thought was...
And I mean, on the flip side, too, we know what happened with Chris Pratt, obviously. Everyone's like, well, why didn't you come out and say you're endorsing Biden? Like, why aren't you saying you're for Biden?
Right.
And people are starting to congeal an idea that he's religious and he's conservative and maybe he voted for Trump. And now they're trying to cancel him because he won't just come out and say, oh, yeah, Biden.
Well, yeah.
And he's like, they're trying to ruin his career. And it's just ridiculous.
Well, people have also jumped on him without him really saying anything because he used to be part of. Oh, God, what was that? What was that church he used to be a part of? I don't remember the name of it. And I don't want to list the wrong one. But there was a church he was associated with. Or was a member of or whatever. And they were against gays. And he said, oh, I'm not down with that. I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. So he was no longer a part of that church. But people keep going back to like, he's a member of this church. He's not anymore. And the fact that he hasn't endorsed a candidate, people are just assuming that that's what he is, and he's getting all this hate online for it, which is ridiculous, because he doesn't need
to. So he just kind of kept his mouth shut, and he's acting and doing his job and not making a hullabaloo about his views, which is fine.
Yeah, totally. I don't need a celebrity to endorse a candidate.
I mean, you have a right to do that. I mean, even as a celebrity, you can say, oh, I'm for Biden or I'm for Trump, like
totally.
Whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But you also have the right to keep your mouth shut and just keep your head down and do your job.
And if he is someone like that,
tend
why would
to your family.
Why would he want to be like the maligned celebrities like Tim Allen or James Woods or any of these other John Voight who go out there? And
yeah,
like he, crazy people. Like,
he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah.
No.
No matter what, no matter how poised he is, and be like, look, I voted for Trump. Here's why. They'll still lump him into that crazy thing. So
right.
Well, because, yeah, he's going to end up in the group, and he's frankly has a good thing going right now. I mean, he may have wanted to come out, even if he, let's say for the sake of example, if he wanted to endorse Donald Trump for re-election, you know, when you're that big of a star, you have a team of people around you, and he may have been advised against it, as I'm sure a lot of celebrities have been, at least in previous campaigns. This year, you know, it was more of a taking up a moral position, which is something I want to get into separate from this, but I kind of want to make this point first. But the idea of, yes, if you're going to support Joe Biden, absolutely be public about it, because it's saying something about your character and your morality. But saying, you know, considering, you know, some of the stuff about the administration in the last 4 years, you don't necessarily want to align yourself with that. So he may have had people who said, nope, don't come out and say anything about what candidate you're endorsing, or if you want to endorse Trump, don't do it.
But Kirstie because feel free. Go ahead. You don't.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, also because he's a star of a certain level. And, you know, let's be honest, if he wants to star in Hallmark movies beside Dean Cain and Christy Swanson, he can. But I don't really think he wants to fall that far yet. And that's not an insult. I'm saying that they have an audience because they're Trump supporters. So the two of them have literally been in Hallmark movies together because they have a certain audience online because they're all in on this, on the Trump presidency. So I don't know. But the assumption, I agree, that this stupid thing about, I mean, people were harassing, what's her name? Scarlet Witch. Why can't I think of her name? Elizabeth Olsen. Yeah, she quit Instagram because people were giving her shit because she didn't post a tribute to Chadwick Boseman. And that's the part of the left, liberals, Democrats, whatever you want to call it, where there's the element of, okay, you can't bully somebody and push them away like you're accusing the other side of doing, because that's not okay. And it's totally not. I mean, I do find it frustrating when there's that element of like, you need to say something. No, you don't necessarily need to say anything. There was an interesting article talking about the stuff that that used to be. I'm sorry, Andrew's putting something in the chat. Anyway, there was an article about the K-pop stans and how they were kind of hijacking the hashtags and things like that on Twitter and requesting tickets for the Trump Tulsa rally that had like 6,000 people show up, even though a million tickets were supposedly reserved, which who knows if that's even true. You know, like the other, you know, daisy chain of lies. It could just be yet another one of like, see, we got tons of people. But just like that stupid march over the weekend, it's like billions of people are going to be there. It was like 6,000. I saw some that said 11,000, but it wasn't nearly the amount of people that you thought for a group that thinks in the majority. But anyway, so there was this woman who heads up this BTS. I believe it's a fan Twitter account. And she's in Australia, and she was getting a lot of pressure from her followers saying, you need to make it. This is after the George Floyd murder. You need to make a statement about this. Why haven't you come out and said anything? And she said, as a woman in Australia, I don't know enough about what, you know, about that experience, certainly the experience of being black in America or the racism of America or anything, that she didn't feel like she had to say something about it. She finally did after doing the research, because she felt a certain, I mean, some of it was pressure, but she felt that after looking into it and seeing more details, and obviously the video made its way around, that she decided to take a position on it. But this idea that everybody, no matter what, as long as you have a public profile, you need to take a position so we know where you stand, if you're with us or against us, and that stupid binary mentality that we're in as a country right now, it is ridiculous. That part has definitely gone off the rails, where it's become so insanely tribal. And that even was my argument when it came to third parties. Andrew and I had a back and forth about it, where I said, things are too binary. I don't think we're going to see a libertarian president in our lifetime. I don't think it's a radical statement. I just think right now everything is so Democrat or Republican except for the contingent who doesn't want to be part of either one. But those are definitely in the minority. And I just don't see it happening because everyone's too entrenched in these two areas, in these two camps.
That kind of goes back to what I was talking about before, whatever the fuck, you know, the Russians took my my
probably. Yeah, Sergey was like, you're not talking bad about our puppet.
We talk, you take the vote for Trump over there. Where is my bird?
This is not my bird. Or you just picture
this is not my bird.
Or just take Ryan's head and put Zangief's head on it from Street Fighter. And just look at it as like he's in his basement. He's a fucking Russian bot now. Street fighting is not.
I'm going to go Slav squat over here.
Give me IP address. I will fuck your shit up.
I know zeros and ones. I know this well.
Street fighting not thing no more.
No. But vodka still thing.
But saying Guile beat me fake news. Anyway. Anyway, Andrew, you were saying before the Russians cut you off.
Yes, that there needs to be that voters in general need to be more conscious than, like you were saying, keeping yourself binary, keeping yourself entrenched in the red and blue.
Totally.
Like, start now. You know, start looking. I mean, obviously, there's not going to be candidates for presidency or governorship, at least for another year. So start looking into the other party's stances now. And you know what I think a big thing is the how boring normal politics are.
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to get back to politics.
Can you tell
being
us
boring.
About your
I mean, the people like us and ordinary citizens, they don't want to know about the inner machinery of it all. They don't care. I mean, they get the sound bites and they get the tweets and, you know, the little tidbits online, and that's what they see and that's what's thrown in their face. They don't have to go digging, you know, and we all vote for people that we don't know every tenet of their platform, you know, that they're running on, or really any of it, the majority. So it's the way we vote in this country and the way we digest politics, it's very surface level.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I agree. And that also goes with our obsession with media, whether it be social media, TV, whatever else. And, you know, I'll be that conspiracy theorist and say that the big two are the only ones paying the media to run their ads and whatnot. So that's why you're only going to see them.
But I also think
because
that's...
they have the machine running for so long now that they
exactly,
have the money. The money's always there.
But
But
that's the whole
people don't have it.
That's the whole part of, you know, the more I see about these people online who are talking about like media and you can't trust the media and, you know, all these.
Guess what? You're trusting the media.
Well, the idea that I'm seeing whether it's with regard to the election or COVID-19 or whatever. There's this group of people who are like, listen, don't believe what you hear because the media companies are owned by corporations and they're telling you this. And, you know, the governments are just using mask mandates to control you and show they can control you because they got bigger plans, all this other shit. This idea that like follow me on Instagram because I'm actually awakened and I know what's going on. And there's a shitload of those accounts. And I've unfollowed people because I see that stuff being shared where people have this idea that, well, the internet is not run by a media company or it doesn't have a corporate sponsor, so to speak. So we can be truthful on here and we can show you what doctors are saying or what people who work in government are saying or whatever it is. And they're going to actually tell the truth.
But you keep going to your same echo chamber
exactly.
of CNN or
so
Fox News or
so if that's,
Breitbart or
right,
wherever the hell it is. And you're going to keep getting the same regurgitated stuff. Why don't you go and look at sites that do... all right, dealing with the pandemic, why don't you go to the CDC or you go to a virology site that tells you how viruses go about and things like that? And, you know, yeah, there's a lot of anecdotal evidence out there, but there are things that still stay the same.
Yeah, like facts. But, you know, we still need to go out of the way to make sure the truth is true to everybody, which with
nothing
everybody
is
getting
true.
Back
everything
into their...
everything is permitted.
Yeah. Well, it's funny mentioning the echo chamber thing. Andrew and I had a little discussion that I wanted to have on here, which was concerning Twitter specifically and the amount of the amount of basically alt-right porn stars who are extremely vocal on Twitter, which it's
is
not
that a thing.
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
God. Yes.
What's an alt-right porn star?
Exactly.
My it's, favorite.
It's cognitive dissonance at its finest.
You just made that up, didn't you?
No. And it's not something I went looking for. It's because I see replies from people, whether it's comedians or whether it's politicians. Sometimes I will scroll down to Twitter and look at the replies, and there are a lot. I mean, not necessarily a lot. I'm not going to put a number to it, but more than you'd think of porn stars who want to talk about
and
politicians
and
how
big
it's
name
not true.
Girls.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to name any of them just because I'm not going to call any attention. I mean, they got a bigger
Andrew
audience than this
knows.
Show does. No, Andrew
actually,
and
Chris is the one that brought this one to me.
I did.
Attention.
I brought one of Andrew's favorites is an
cinnamon
alt-right rock. Nutcase. And
start throwing names out.
And
cinnamon sugar.
And it's unfortunately, it's really stunning. I mean, I saw one of them who actually said, you know, I'm just really disturbed by the fact that, you know, there's going to be a pedophile in the White House now. And I thought, okay. And there was another one who said, like, you know, I believe Joe Biden is a pedophile. Like, say what you want, but I believe it. And it's like, okay, so the guy who actually is the sitting president who you, I assume, voted for, I'm talking to, you know, this Royal You porn star, which that name's up for grabs if anyone wants it. But this porn star who thinks Joe Biden's a pedophile, okay, the sitting president is in pictures and video with a known pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein. But there's no way he is. But Joe Biden, who may be, you know, old man affectionate with females in terms of hugging, you know, or giving a kiss on the head or something like that, that's a pedophile. But hanging out with a known would have been convicted pedophile.
Mm-hmm. And the guy who
that
said he
completely
would date his
dismissed.
Own daughter.
Yeah, it wants to fuck his own daughter.
Pussy and had to pay hush money to another porn star.
Exactly. He's well, maybe that's it. Maybe that was a point of attraction for some of these porn stars. Like, hey, he supports us. No, he doesn't. Yeah. No, he doesn't. He wants to pay you hush money.
Yeah.
I mean,
and which is funny if you think about that. Typically you associate the Republican movement with Christianity, you know, they're God-fearing Republicans. But they're you're saying he endorses you in your heathen ways and selling your body?
Right. And that's it when it comes to evangelicals mm-hmm. and their love for the right. I'm like, how do these two things jive? I mean, it's one of those things.
Even
that,
as a person who's a Catholic, I don't understand how some of the Catholics believed in Trump. It's like he is the most self-serving, horrible human being. And you think that this doesn't go with anything that you ever.
I think I sent you guys. I think I sent you guys a meme like when the election season started of, you know. Me, it's one of those like me and then a picture, like, you know, me, what I said, and then a picture.
Right.
And it's like me, Trump. I'm not voting for Trump. I'm voting for someone else. And then my aunt's Facebook. And it's a picture of Jesus, George Washington and Trump holding the American flag.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
really?
I never got that.
Oh, that's there was a Facebook post that I saw that was shown to me, I should say, because I don't even want to narrow the field as far as people who are known. But this person said sometime last weekend when the election was essentially called for Joe Biden said, you know, it really disturbs me that 70 million people voted in favor of repealing the Second Amendment, late term abortion, defunding the police, you know, all this other shit where all those Fox News and right wing talking points, which is, mm-hmm. you know, hilarious because I love these alt-right porn stars. I have to say it is really funny that they're always commenting on like, get your facts straight, do your research. And then I looked at a couple of them and who they're following, Fox News, OAN, The Blaze. They're literally just following all the right wing Twitter accounts and James Woods and John Voight. And meanwhile, they're like, do your research. It's like, you do your research.
Yeah,
dope.
Idiot.
Yeah, that's it. It's like you're literally following every single, you know, right wing outlet. And you want to act like somehow like, oh, this person couldn't know what they're talking about because that's not what I heard, which goes back to everybody being in their bubble. And how do you talk to people? How do you let Republicans know like, no, Democrats don't want open borders. They just don't want immigrants to be put in cages, you know, or how is it? No, it's not that they want to take away your guns. We just don't want crazy people to get guns and shoot us in a public place. You know, these ideas can't be clarified because everyone's retreating to their own bubble, unfortunately. So you can't even make that claim. And with how much candidates from opposing parties have been demonizing each other, it's yeah, you're not gonna meet in the middle. There's not gonna be some happy medium. There's not gonna be some moment of like we've been hearing about for the last week. Now is the time we need to come together and remember. It's like no. I mean, even to go back to back to Andrew's point at the beginning of we've seen how America truly is, and yeah, we need to acknowledge that this is not who we are. It's who a lot of us. It's who at least 70 million are. In as much as they were okay with voting in favor.
I was just gonna say that. What was it? 74 million people voted for Biden. 70 million people voted for Trump.
Yeah. After the last million. 4 years. It's
now,
really.
I would just to generalize, I would double that number to say that they have children. You know, if it's 70 million adults, that's 30 million, that's 35 million couples. So it's at least, I'll give them two
kids each. So it's 140 people.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that have this rhetoric that this orange syncopant in office is somehow the most religious, fighting this invisible war that we've been told about, has their best interest in mind.
Yeah. Man who's never...
I don't get it.
Didn't set foot in a red state until he started campaigning. I mean, was a total...
Right.
That was a crazy thing. Like, here's a guy who's literally... He embodies the most... This is the most baffling thing to me. Here's a man who embodies all the things people... say are negative about New Yorkers. When you refer to someone as being a New Yorker in the pejorative sense, you're talking about them being a blowhard, thinking New York's the capital of the world, they're being obnoxious, they're loud, they have an opinion about everything, they think they're the best. He is all of those things, but because...
That's what you voted him in.
Well, but that's it. But because, and I asked a friend about this, you know, in California, who was from a red state, I said, is it just that people saw him on The Apprentice and thought like, hey, that guy knows what he's doing? And she said, pretty much. I mean, that's it. It's like you saw the guy in a fucking game show and you said, you know what? That guy's smart. He knows what he's doing. Meanwhile, he has zero experience. He's
in time for something new.
Yeah, he's violated all the commandments. I mean, it's just take your pick. And even just the idea.
Now,
go ahead.
Now we have history. So he
lost
the popular vote twice. Apparently, he's the first president to lose the popular vote twice.
Right.
Not only that, he is the first president to only serve one term in 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh, this was a historic election already. I mean,
oh, without a doubt.
That word gets thrown around a lot, but there's no denying that. I mean,
totally.
He's made history in more ways than one.
Which emphasizes the polarization right now because
and it's the highest voter turnout in
the
history of the United States.
Ever. Most who's ever voted for a winning president, most who's ever voted for an incumbent as well. Which is a stunning thing to me because there is somebody in my life who my girlfriend was having a conversation with. Who this is a week before the election and something came up. It wasn't, you know, just as a natural flow of the conversation. It wasn't about that, but it became about the election. And this person said, yeah, I still need to do my research as far as who I'm voting for. Now, this is a week before the election. We do have an incumbent, which if that word baffles people, it means there is a sitting president who's running for re-election. So at its most basic level, you can say, okay, am I up for four more years of the last four, or do I think there needs to be a change and somebody else should be given a shot? If nothing else, you can look at it that way. And if you can look at the last 4 years and still be undecided, I don't know what to say.
Can't help you.
I mean, how can you? You're either okay with the way things are and you want it to continue, or you're not crazy about the way things are and you want to vote against it, which is frankly where the four of us were. Well, I mean, at least the three of us, as far as that goes. I just thought that was crazy. As far
don't know
as
how
this,
you could be on undecided.
Well, yeah, this idea, like, I need to do my research. You got 4 years. There's a track record
even if
now.
You're on Trump's side, like, everyone's decided.
Right.
Like, long before the election rolled around, everyone was very much decided.
Well, yeah, remember.
For this election, for this period of time.
Totally. And regardless of who the candidate was, I mean, Ryan and I had been saying for a while, like, we don't even care who the Democratic candidate is. Like, if Joe Biden ate a peach and spit the pit of the peach into the street and it sat out in the sun for 2 days and then a dog pissed on it, we would have voted for that peach pit before voting for Donald Trump. So, I mean, for us, it was just like anybody who's running on the Democratic ticket, like we are there for because this can't go on anymore. And it's just really because you have to look at it. And I'm trying to really word things carefully. I realize I'm starting and stopping, but I just really want to make my thoughts clear because we are talking about something sensitive. This isn't just bullshit about Andrew's dick like it has been in previous shows. So this isn't me making fun of him or coming up with stupid jokes. But There has to be
the Russians.
All I can see are Andrew's eyes right now.
I know he's sinking lower and lower in the frame.
He's like, "What? You guys are talking about my dick?"
Yeah, I'm going to shrink just like my dick. Anyway, so anyway, this idea that I can't help but think, if you are a, as Bill Maher has referred to them, Republican classic. I don't have a better phrase for it than that, so I'm going to use his. If you're a Republican classic, this old form of Republican, like we were talking about earlier, whether it was George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan. Yeah, whatever. If you're a Republican classic, I don't understand, and I'm not saying people do, but there's certainly people who've just gone along with this evolution to where we are now and have stuck with the Republican Party. I don't understand how you look at this is the party that, you know, regardless if you're not a racist, the candidate you're supporting is the one who white supremacists are supporting. It's the one Osama bin Laden's daughter said would make the best American president. I mean, there has to be a moment where you look at that and say, yeah, is this really the candidate who I want to support? The one white supremacist groups and the KKK and, you know, all these other people, you know, what's his name? David Duke, you know, the former Grand Wizard of the KKK, you know, all these people. Yeah, the Proud Boys, all these other fucking groups.
Which I thought
this is who they're supporting.
And that's whose side you want to be on. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. How do you not look at it if you are a Republican classic and say, I'm not about this? There has to be something to it. I don't know. I mean, and to that point, and not to, again, Andrew, I'm not picking on you. But it does kind of make me wonder, since you're seeing all these things and you agree and you're certainly no fan of Trump. I assume, even though you haven't made any public statement about it, I assume you did vote Libertarian in this election, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, safe to assume based on us talking about it just now, you're like, well, here's what I think. So I figured you had.
I voted for the Communist Party.
I mean, maybe. I'm a non-participant.
At this point.
Well, here's where I come down on that a little bit. And for this reason. So in the instance of the first debate, as much of a flaming dumpster fire as it was, there was a moment where the sitting president had a chance to denounce white supremacy and didn't, if anything, encouraged it. Fan the flames, said, stand back and stand by. Didn't say stand down.
No.
Literally let them know. So much so that by the, like within an hour, they were selling T-shirts. The Proud Boys were selling T-shirts with stand back and stand by on them. They totally
co-opted
that. That really, that totally was. What, say that again, Andrew?
That was get ready for the Boogaloo or whatever.
No,
it
wasn't the Boogaloo.
It.
No, it wasn't.
No, that was the Proud Boys. The Boogaloo's another
the
one.
Proud Boys. No, the way he said that was like
they're all on the same side.
I mean, they are, but there's just different factions. Yeah. Now, my thing is, if the president cannot denounce white supremacy in the way that abortion is a single issue vote in favor of Republicans for a lot of people, I would look at that as a single issue vote. Now, I know you are a person who has sympathy, even though you know it's not, you don't share the experience that, as you said at the beginning, we have a different experience being four straight white guys than people of color in the LGBTQ plus community have had. Our experience is different. So it's not like you're not aware of it. I just honestly wonder why that alone, the idea that the sitting president couldn't denounce white supremacy, why you weren't still up for voting for the person
why
who was most likely. Yeah. Why weren't you up for the person who's most likely to defeat him? Because I don't think you voted for Joe Jorgensen saying like, well, she's totally going to win. I just want to know. I'm not putting in the hot seat for it. I just really want to know like why that wasn't enough to move the needle. Because to me, that's a big enough issue where if I was on the fence, that would have got me off.
Well, if you want to play that game, then you can turn around and say, you know, my vote went to my vote for Joe Jorgensen went to Joe Biden to take it away from Trump. You want to play that game?
Well, no, I didn't mean that. I'm saying as far as the issue itself, I'm not talking about how we can break down the actual. I mean, we could do that with every single line by line. I'm just saying in the issue of that.
That's the nonsense that I heard this entire election. And it goes back to what I was saying. And I said I agree with you, Chris, in the fact that other parties, not just Libertarian, other parties in general need to do more campaigning, whether it's grassroots or now you've got all the social media out there to bring your candidate into light,
right,
and show that they have these certain views. I wholeheartedly agree that I was never going to vote for Trump.
Absolutely.
I never did. I didn't do it the first time. I'm certainly not doing it after he said those statements. He did the suckers and losers statement.
Right.
I was never, that just cemented the fact that I was not voting for him. But I couldn't vote for Biden in good conscience because A, I'm not that kind of person that, oh, it's the lesser of two evils. The lesser of two evils is still evil if you want to go by that route. And there's things that he and Kamala Harris have done politically that I disagree with. It doesn't have anything to do with my hatred for Joe Biden, or he's some kind of, pedophile, or Kamala Harris, you know, fucked her way to the top, or any of these other wacky conspiracies.
Stupid conspiracies.
I'm just literally looking at what they did.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously, he's not going to be perfect. And for most people on the Democratic side, he was not anybody's first choice.
No.
Right.
There are things that I disagree with him on. I wasn't particularly excited to vote for him. I think he's too old to be running at this point.
Kamala's going to be as soon as like February hits.
I thought there was a moment where I actually thought that was a possibility. I said, maybe this is just a gateway to get her in, and Biden is just the safe vote, because that's why he ended up being the candidate out of all this diversity, because it was a diverse field for the Democratic candidates. But yes, he is of a certain age. He's certainly not going to run again in 2024 if he finishes this term.
He's
definitely not. Andrew, your face is bouncing all over that backdrop, and it's wildly distracting. Like, I'm honestly, my face is turning red because I'm trying not to laugh. I'm really trying to focus and say what I'm trying to say. But just your head moving freely about the frame is very, very funny. Now you're still.
It's my libertarian mind control.
Is that what it is? Okay, well, you're taking me off point, so it's working.
Yes. Man, with this guy.
But now, listen, I was just wondering about that, because again, for something like white supremacy, like for me, that would be a single issue. If I wasn't already off the fence as far as like I decided to vote in this presidential election, like that is something that for me would have stood out. And that's honestly why I want to ask. I didn't want to say like, why is it you're for white supremacy or you're not for denouncing white supremacy? Obviously, you do. Are you willing to renounce right now on the show? You denounce white supremacy, Andrew?
Stand down and stand erect.
Well, stand down is more than he said. I mean, at least that's something. No,
This you're asking the guy who has.
I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for the audience.
No, I know.
Just because they're like, he didn't answer the question.
He's asking the guy who has Puerto Rican cousins, black cousins, everything except like Chinese and Middle Eastern cousins in his family. And you're going to ask me, do I denounce racism? A fucking course I do.
Yes,
I have fantasies about women of color. Are you kidding me?
Those are all the fantasies, actually.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I make up for the rest of the guys in this group the amount of fantasies I have about women of color.
That's all he fantasizes.
Wifey know about this?
Yes, she does.
Damn well about it.
She's in the other room.
Well, listen, you
can hear me right now.
You can't fault the guy for that. I mean, everybody fantasizes about something, you know, that they don't have. I don't watch a whole lot of interracial porn, and I'll tell you why. No, but that's everybody. That's not abnormal. But no, listen, that for me, because again, that's something I've looked at for the last couple of years, saying when you look at the open racism and the white supremacy and the fact that all these people who were hiding under rocks have decided to come out and wear their hate on their sleeve, which for an administration that has been littered with insidious things.
Yeah. And go out in the public with Nazi flags. And
exactly. Something their fucking grandparents fought against.
Yeah.
That's the thing I don't get. Like, do you realize that in World War II we fought against this, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is something your ancestors fought against. I mean, that boggles my mind in so many ways.
That's the thing in 2017. Then, like, I knew I wasn't going to vote for him again, but that sealed the deal in 2017. Like, whoever it is, I can't, because he didn't condemn them then after that whole thing in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
No, they didn't have the permit. Yeah. They didn't have the permit, and those are very fine people. I was
very fine people.
Yeah, shit went bad quickly. And I mean, even in the very beginning, like, I gave him the benefit of the doubt too, along with a lot of other people, even though I didn't vote for him, I didn't vote against him, I just stayed home. But I was like, okay, let's just see what he does.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some shit will get done. Even if I don't like what he says, even if he's kind of an asshole.
Right.
Maybe he'll get some shit done that it will benefit people. Maybe.
Well,
so let's just see what he does. And very quickly it was like
well, that was my optimistic like, well, that was my optimistic view of how this was gonna go, was that I thought, okay, if he's on an ego trip because he wanted a raise for The Apprentice and NBC wasn't gonna give it to him, so he decided to raise his public profile. And then I thought, okay, if this is just an ego trip and him trying to put his name out there and he just gets nothing done and is a clown for 4 years, that I thought would be the best outcome. But the fact that he takes the oath and then immediately Muslim ban, I thought, oh shit, this is so much worse than we could have thought, because he's literally now just governing for his supporters, and that trend followed all the way through. Still follows now. Just the fact he's claiming he won the election. He's literally just catering to his base. He's no interest in expanding it. He just wants to deepen their devotion to him, which is
there. And he did that successfully.
He totally did. But I was surprised. That was my argument this whole time. I said, okay, there's a lot of pissed off women who said we should have had our first female president by now. So if we get a female VP, which at this point is definitely a path to a female president in 2024, that's a safe bet, if not sooner. Then I thought, okay, that's incredibly likely, because more women are going to be motivated for this. And I also thought, well, he hasn't gained any new fans. If anything, he's had a lot of supporters who've been turned off by him. People voted for him in 2016 are absolutely not going to vote for him in 2020. So it really was stunning. Jack is raising his hand. And the fact
I wasn't even a fan. I just, like I said, press the button. Well, let's see what we do.
Yeah.
And I'm done.
and that's it. I mean, the fact that more people still did come out to vote for him than voted for him last time was really, really stunning and disheartening on election night, which I had to kind of temper my enthusiasm, or I should say temper my depression about it, because that was always going to be the plan, because one party was saying, don't vote by mail, show up at the polls. The other party was saying, vote by mail and be safe. So we knew if it looked like he was leading on election day, that was kind of the expectation, that there were a lot of mail-in ballots to be counted and that we couldn't know. I even said by the end of the month, I think I even referenced it last month on the show, and I said, look, we're not going to talk about the election because it's about to, actually it was earlier this month. I said, it's about to go down, and I said, we'll wait until we know what's going on. I'm sure we're going to talk about it then. I really thought it was going to be till the end of the month by the time these votes got tallied, because there'd be so many mail-in ballots. But I mean, this whole idea of like the election's been stolen, the election's fraudulent. It's why can't you believe that once again more people voted for somebody else other than him?
Right.
Just the fact that these people can't get that idea around their head, and that they will continue to believe that the Biden presidency is illegitimate.
He said that against Hillary too. He's like, I'll count these votes as long as they're not for Hillary. Like,
exactly. Well, that's how confused his sycophants are. They're literally, you know, in Pennsylvania saying stop the vote, and then in Arizona they're saying count the votes.
Count the votes. Yeah.
That's
it. It does not work this way at all.
Yeah.
Well,
definitely does not work that way.
Well, I mean that shows honestly the moral character of his supporters. I mean, I'm sorry. And look, if people are saying like don't
say anything. We tweeted that. Stop the count.
Exactly. But except for Arizona where he was trailing. Then keep counting there. He tweeted that as well. And it's just the idea that his supporters would have been fine if he had stolen the election, if he had stopped mail-in ballots, if mail-in ballots weren't found, and if he actually had more votes than the popular vote, or if he'd won the Electoral College because a shitload of mail-in ballots were unaccounted for, his supporters would have been fine with it. They totally would have been okay. Like, as long as he stays in power, we don't care by what means, which shows they're frankly as morally bankrupt as he is, because he would have wanted it. Well, that's it. They said, many of his supporters have said that. Like, he should be president for life, which is ironic considering, you know, four died in Benghazi and Hillary should have gone to jail, and two died from Ebola. Two Americans died from Ebola, and Obama should resign. And meanwhile, look at the situation we're in right now with COVID. And it's just like, no, president for life. He's done nothing but focus on his reelection and, you know, try to own the libs. President for life. Like, that's my guy. Which, frankly, that's another thing. The fact that there was no
connection really is like pretty apparent. I'm not trying to be funny, even. It's really like, how that mirrors, it's scary.
Oh, your point is totally valid on that. I agree. Right. I agree. It's like, I will cheat. I will lie. I will do whatever it takes to
whatever
win.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's, I don't know, it's really crazy. And I can't imagine how you can't second guess. You know, again, if you've been a Republican for a long time, when you look at the fact that you're supporting the person who's also supported by white supremacist groups and these fringe wackos, and they're saying, this is who we want, you know.
Oh,
and,
here, you know what? You know what? Here. I have a quest for not only the three of you, but also anyone who's listening, watching right now.
who is anti-Trump and pro-thoughtfulness.
Or pro-empathy or sympathy. We'll go with that.
If you see someone with a QAnon sticker on the back of their car, which is literally just a capital Q, go buy some letters from Home Depot, Lowe's, and just put quack. Just spell out the word quack, because that's all they fucking are. A bunch of quacks.
Or buy an LGBT to put in front of it. They'll love that. They'll love that.
Yep.
I don't know. That was another thing I thought when it came to the mania. And I was kind of trying to say this earlier when we were on another point, but we ended up going somewhere else with it. But just the fanaticism around him is something I will never understand, as far as when it comes to any one person. Because
cult
the cult of personality is rampant. And, you know, the cult. I was at a Wawa that was west of where I am, up in North Jersey, and there was a Jeep that pulled up. One of the kind of like ragtop Jeeps that, you know, has a cover that you just pull off, and it's, you know, the chick Jeep. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, it was covered in stickers for him, had an American flag on the back and a Trump 2020 Keep America Great flag on the back. Literally the entire thing was covered in Trump stickers, pictures, whatever it was. And I thought, I'm not that crazy about any one person that I would cover my vehicle in that. There was some dude driving. I don't know if you guys saw him down by you. I saw him in around Monmouth County driving around with like an RV covered in bullshit.
Oh, you didn't hear about the accident?
What accident was that?
That RV got into an accident on Route 70 by the Wawa on Massachusetts.
Oh, really? Ew. How recently was that?
Oh, this is a couple, like in the middle of COVID, like July or so.
Oh, okay.
It's sad that is now a time, like that's a time period.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That's the
that one, and I think there's actually two of them. One's women for Trump, and another one is just general like pro-Trump bullshit. The best that I have in my area is I had a political flag war going on in the apartments here. There is a very openly gay man who lived across from where I used to live over in Building 7, who was obviously pro-Biden and just decorated the shit out of his porch with Biden stuff.
Right.
And then directly across from him on the other side of the courtyard was pro-Trump. And they did the exact same thing except Trump. And this was before Halloween. And I wanted to, and I wish I had the state of mind to do it. I wanted to walk around and videotape like all these different, like, get on the Trump train. Trump 2020, stop the bullshit. Biden Harris, has no place here. I'm like, I love when people put up their Halloween decorations early.
There was a house around a few blocks away from me, and I was out taking a walk, and in they have like a big bay window, and in that window was this like a canvas, this huge canvas of Trump dressed as Rambo.
Yes. Oh God, I saw one of those near my parents.
Yep.
I didn't even know what to say about it.
They were selling those T-shirts at the mall too, up here at Garden State Plaza. There was some booth, which had all sorts of paraphernalia, and it was Rambo, and it was like coming for the libs or liberal tears, and stupid catchphrases on it. Had
his face, tears,
which is so funny. Even the fact that supporters look at him that way, he's an obese 74-year-old man.
There's something intimidating about him.
Really. Yeah, like he paints his fucking face. I mean, look, you can see he paints his face orange. I mean,
and for the evolution of the platform, as you see these flags around, so obviously it started Make America Great Again. And then it was Trump 2020, Keep America Great. And then we see the Trump flags that say no more bullshit, which is hilarious in and of itself.
Oh, my God.
Is there any self-awareness there? But the best one that we saw, Jen and I were out the other night. We were in Point Pleasant. We were in the car. And we saw a flag that said Trump 2020, fuck your feelings.
Yeah, which are the
and
people.
That sums up the platform.
There's pictures of people at his protest, at his rallies.
And have signs
for feelings. Yeah.
You people are very, very fine. Very fine people, right? Fuck your feelings. Okay.
Yeah.
The ones who were saying, like, what about the tolerant left? Every time someone who's a Democrat or a liberal on Twitter says something about it, it's like, what about the tolerant left? And it's like, really? I thought you were the fuck your feelings people. And now you're the snowflakes, like Andrew said, like that meme. You know, they're the ones who are just like, listen, don't pick on me because my guy lost. It's like, no.
I'm going to go hide in my bunker now and zombie apocalypse because, you know, the Rothschild and Bill Gates are going to push this COVID vaccine down my throat that had nothing to do with the government.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the problem. It's like, oh, the government got the vaccine done. And then it's like, the government had nothing to do with the vaccine. Don't take it. They can't even settle on
it. It's like the government. There's two companies right now that produced a vaccine.
Right.
I was talking to Veronica about this.
Pfizer and I forget the other one.
Mandela.
Okay. Mandela. Pfizer. No, I'm kidding.
Pfizer. Wrong. Yeah. Pfizer was the first one to come out with it. The news was broken Sunday, which was hilarious because everyone's like, oh, sure, right after the election, we get this thing. And that's, yes, it's funny. And everyone knew it was going to come after the election. No, everyone knew that it wasn't going to be anytime soon. But the fact that the PR intern decided to tweet it out that day, it just makes it even more suspect.
Right.
The other company there, they just sent it out today. They sent out the news today. And that's the one that actually took money from the government that Trump himself has been touting as the best, this, that, and the other thing. Now, from a medical standpoint, the sustainability of the two of them, sadly, the one that Trump is touting has a better chance because you don't have to refrigerate it as delicately as the one from Pfizer. The one from Pfizer has to be refrigerated at negative 94 degrees Fahrenheit before administration. And that's like stuff that you see in the hospitals. Like these are the little freezers that you open the door and you see the dry ice foam come out or fog. Yeah. That cold. Whereas the other one, you can get a regular freezer from Lowe's and stockpile it and save it that way.
Interesting.
So I mean, just in that respect, it sucks that you would have to be pro anything him.
I mean, you know what? He could have been reelected if he'd handled this pandemic and if he'd taken it seriously at the beginning. Even if he said wear a mask or there was some consistent message coming from the administration right from the beginning, he could have been reelected. Honestly. Especially by considering such a narrow margin, you know, there was such
I'm
a big blue
out
wave.
On a limb and say he would have been.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a stretch, honestly, but he didn't.
Not at all, yeah.
He chose to ignore it because whatever your opponent takes seriously now, if the Democrats say it's a big deal, you need to say the opposite. That's where we are. And so they had he called it a hoax at the beginning. He did at a fucking rally. And you know what? He totally dropped the ball. So even if a government program did help push this vaccine forward, good. It fucking should have. I don't care if he was the president when that happened. I mean, that's just my opinion. I really don't care.
And that goes back to the cult of personality thing. Like all presidents, like take Barack Obama. None of us here voted for him. Well, you did, Chris, right?
I didn't. This is my first presidential election I voted in.
Okay, so none of us here voted for Barack Obama. Not that we're saying he was an evil man or anything. We just didn't agree with whatever his politics was at that time.
I mean, I ended up really liking him like towards the end, but neither time did I vote for him because I was just sort of apathetic, but I actually ended up really liking him.
Yeah, right.
So in hindsight, I was like, oh shit, I should have voted for him.
Yeah. Time bore that out. So
what I was getting at is like, he's a perfect visual example of what the presidency does to a person. Look at him now.
Yeah. He's aged.
It's tired. And he's not 70. What? He's not even 60, is he?
No, he's in his 50s, I think.
Yeah, so he's not even near Trump's age, 50s, and he looks older just from the stress.
Yeah, well, you carry that weight. I mean, even look at Bill Clinton. Yeah. I mean, he was aged by the time he got out of office, too. And that's what happens. But that's also the weight you carry.
He was young when he took office, too.
Yeah.
I mean, look what happened with Bush. What is Bush doing now? He's painting pictures to get over his own version of PTSD for sending people off to die.
Basically.
And he's giving those paintings to family members of those who either died in the wars that he sent them to,
right.
You know, their children or whatever, or the people that died during 9/11.
Or proceeds from the sales are going to help those families as well. But like, he's helping to
in some way.
He's reconciling his guilt in a certain way because that's he has to deal with it.
It's a horrible thing to bear.
It is. Right. And unfortunately, if somebody who has zero conscience has no concept of anybody beyond himself and will literally go to his grave, which is coming. And I'm not wishing death upon the man, but you don't see many people of his size. And I'm talking about weight wise in their 80s. You just don't. You know, especially considering how much Diet Coke and, right. and fast food he's going to be ingesting once he's no longer, you know, under a microscope as president. Forget it. But he's not going to have that.
It's said that we as a country put so much emphasis on one person and what happened during their term, not what happened after, because that's a big argument with both parties about how, like, you know, like right now they're like, oh, Trump did this for the economy. But it was things that Obama set up during his year that obviously right,
that he inherited. Yeah.
Gained control of, and vice versa. The same thing
with every presidency. Yeah. Not everything. The country doesn't start fresh after every new president is sworn in.
Right.
Believe it or not, it's an evolving
fallout or an up.
And when it comes to, you know, daily life, local elections are going to affect our lives a lot more than the presidency.
Absolutely.
Will.
Absolutely.
For the vast majority of us. But no, a lot of people don't pay attention to local politics, and I'm guilty of that as well. Like the super local elections, I never vote in those. I don't know who's who. I see signs on lawns, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't have kids in school. I don't know who I'm supposed to be voting for. You know, I'm not going to marry myself to a side forever. There's so much to pay attention to at all different levels of government, and it's hard for one person to do. When you have a job and you have kids and you have this and you have that, limits. I mean,
that way.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. And I agree with you 100% on term limits. Absolutely.
But the Senate's what, every 2 years or four? It's two, right?
No, it's four. Senate. It's certain rotations, aren't it? Aren't they? Certain ones every, and there's always a Senate election every 2 years, but it's different groups that are up for election every even numbered year.
Right.
If I understand it correctly, I'm new to this whole voting thing.
What do you mean certain group? Because I'm ignorant.
I don't know how it's designated as far as what seats are up for re-election in 2020 and 2022. Yes. Yeah. Midterm. Okay. As far as midterms and ones that like we just had this month, how those fall. Right. It's not a clean slate every single time.
Okay.
But that's a whole other area.
It's 6 years for Senate.
Okay.
Oh, is it? Ryan. Oh, okay. Well, that's why. Yeah. There's every. There are always seats that are available every even numbered year, basically, that are up to be voted on.
And governors are also four, but they're on a different time schedule than the president.
Yeah, they're opposite even numbered years of governor. Like governors will be 2022, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 2021. So our governor,
OK.
Yeah, so election is election is next year. And then 2022, they would take office.
I see.
House of Representatives is 2 years.
House is 2 years. Okay, I knew
House is 2 years. Senate's six.
Okay. And president and governor is four.
Mm-hmm. No, term limits. I would agree with that. I think the lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court is insane. Without getting a separate discussion about the Supreme Court, but right. I think a lifetime appointment to any position in government is ridiculous. So yeah, term limits. I agree.
You're gonna get cronies like Joe Biden was being 47 years in government, who will continue to push ideas and not grow. I'm not saying he did in general, but you know, you have certain individuals that will continue to keep ideas perpetuating and not growing with the changing times and whatnot.
And not representing your electorate either.
No,
that's part of it. That's why
representation and all this other shit. Like,
that's why there's so many young people in Congress this year and 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It took over 2 years ago. Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. We want fresh blood because they also are more in touch, you know, a 30-year-old. What's that? Oh, the swamp. Yeah. Forget. No, he made the swamp swampier by bringing his buddies from Goldman Sachs and all his other fucking institutions.
No, he made the swamp inhabitable by dumping a fucking.
By showing how much you can profit from it. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can go on, and we frankly don't want to, but this has been.
Look at me. I'm visually tired now. It's exhausting.
But this discussion.
We're all going to need to take a blood pressure pill after this.
Yeah, we're going to need a Xan.
Hey, Ryan, go to sleep.
Can you, like, teleport a Xanax up here? Like, can I, like.
Yeah, I got you. I have a bottle.
If we're meeting up at the studio, that's exactly how it would go. Which, by the way, if you stuck around this long, obviously the plan is to go back to. What's that? Because you keep interrupting me. Say that again.
Yeah.
You say, yeah, Interrupter Jones over here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what I was going to say was, yes, we are going to be back at Skid Row Studios. This show and next week's show will be Zoom shows.
Skid Row Studios?
Skid Row. Oh, my God. I said Skid Row Studios. Holy shit.
California?
We're not going back to Skid Row Studios. We're going back to a shared universe podcast studio. Wow. Goddamn.
Womp womp.
He's charging you more now.
That was a real... I guess I am tired. My brain went on autopilot.
We need to end the show now.
Yeah. No, we'll be back at a shared universe podcast studio. Next week will be a Zoom show, but after that, back at the studio and more announcements to come. I mean, hopefully the studio stays open. I'm just saying that because, you know, the COVID numbers are going up everywhere. We hope the studio is still open and we can be there for shows. I mean, we certainly want to be, as long as, you know, they deem it safe to be open, then we shall be there. But next week will be another Zoom show and then back at Shared Universe Podcast Studio. But since you made it to the end, hey, thanks for listening. I want to thank everybody who joined in. Once again, the alumni of the only podcast that matters. You can follow Jack on Twitter at JackWagon85 and on Instagram at JacksonFigure1985. You can follow Ryan on Instagram at HoneyIDrunkTheBeers. And you can follow Andrew on Instagram and Snapchat at Metal_Drew. And follow me on Twitter at Chris Abalo and on Instagram at Chris Sells Out. And follow the show at Cape Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And please make sure to like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. So until next time, for Jack, Andrew, and Ryan, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.
We're a cartoon. You can turn us off. You're the president. We can't turn you off. And you're on, like, all the time.